Everybody take a big breath and say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't that true? And when it says everything, I literally mean everything, from the creatures of the earth, the animals, to God's own creation, you and I. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 21 should be relatively easy to find. It's the first book in the Bible. Genesis chapter 21. And I'll probably make a reference in Genesis chapter 28 as well. Get my stuff situated up here so I don't get my wife mad at me when she comes up to sing. Have the music all wrinkled and everything. There was a group of students in Texas taking a class on psychology and emotions, and the professor, he wanted to know what the opposite of happy was. The opposite of happy. And so one student raised his hand and said, the opposite of happy is sad. The professor said, very good, very good. And then the professor asked, what is the opposite of depression? Another student answered, and he said, well, the opposite of depression is elation. Excellent, said the professor. Very good. And so finally the professor asked, what is the opposite of woe? And one student, pretty anxious, hopped up and said, the opposite of woe is giddy up. You'll get it in a minute. Think about it. If you don't remember anything about today's message, you'll probably remember that one. But while the opposite of giddy up is woe in some places, the opposite of woe is joy. Is joy. And life is full of highs and lows. Would you agree? Life is full of highs and lows in our life. And we can be sure that we're going to have moments of happiness in our life. And moments of sadness. And moments of depression and elation. As well as joy and woe. But our task as a child of God is to learn to navigate those extremes that happen to us in life as we walk with our God and we learn to depend on Him on a daily basis. How many of you in here have a dream of some sort? A dream or a vision that God has given you, maybe in your own life, maybe in your career, in schooling, or maybe your marriage, or even your children. You think about it, dreams, that word dreams, there's probably no more aspirational word in the English language than that word, dream. Paul McCartney said the song Let It Be came to him in a dream. And Martin Luther King Jr., he had a dream, remember? And his dream changed the world. Dreams are wonderful. But at times in our life, especially during like the year 2020, we find that sometimes living the dream doesn't come quite as easily as we'd like it to. But remember, God has a dream for your life. Did you know that? God has a dream for your life. And if you're here today and if you believe this Bible, then it's true. But God's dream for you is not going to be a walk in the park just because you decide to come to church and worship Him and walk with Him daily. Because there's many times in our life that our dreams, something will come along and happen to us, or a circumstance, our dreams sometimes end up fading away, and sometimes we may forget about them altogether due to life circumstances. It'll require steadfast trust from you and I to stick with those. And even when the enemy comes along to do everything that he can to try and snuff out those dreams that God places in our hearts for our life. But if we can trust God just to be able to carry it through, then He will bring it to pass. If you just hold on, if you just can trust Him. And we have that promise in the book of Psalms, chapter 37, verse 4, where it says, take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Would you agree with that? God has you in His sight. And He knows your desires that you have in your heart. And if you delight in Him, He'll bring them to pass. And I want to speak to you today about enduring the nightmare. And I'll show you where this is in Scripture. But I think a lot of times we need to understand that God is a God who gives us a purpose, a dream in our life, a mission, and He gives us a plan for our life to carry through. And it means that you see it out there, or maybe something, God shows you something in your spirit that He says, this is who I see in you. It's a vision of where I shall be when God places my hand on His life, when God places His hand on your life and your heart. And for some of you, like I mentioned earlier, it may be your career. For some, it may be being the best parent that you can be to raise your children in a godly manner. For others, it may be a calling. It may be a special ministry that God has shown you to be a servant of. But there's no question about it, God has a dream for every person. And with that dream that God gives you, there always comes hell's nightmare. It tries to steal that dream that God has placed, that tries to steal that calling that God has placed in your life. And if you don't learn to endure the nightmare, then you'll never be able to experience the dream that God gives you. So many people quit. So many people give up because they have a dream that was planted in their heart by God, and they hold true to that. But then comes the nightmare. And I want to show you, it's kind of a biblical pattern how this happens. I want to show you that it's impossible for God to give a person a dream without the nightmare to come as well. Because God does give people dreams in their life. It's a projected destiny, a projected place in your life of where you shall be and where God wants you to be. Where your family, where God wants your family to be, your marriage to be, and where your life as a child of God to be. And never does God plant that in your heart, in my heart, with that dream that the enemy doesn't seem to come along in our life with his nightmare. Would you agree with that? And unless you can endure hell's nightmare, and then you'll never experience heaven's dream for your life. The moment that most people give up is the moment of their most greatest opportunity that God has for them. Because the dream is your destiny. The dream tells you where you will be going, your navigation point to God, and it's calling on you. And the nightmare, believe it or not, is your pathway to that. And your adversity that you encounter in your life will advance you forward. The nightmare is the pathway to the dream that God has for your life, that you're called to. Everything that you want is on the other side of not giving up. What happened on the cross at Calvary was the pathway to the dream for the church. God said that I want a church. I have a church in mind. Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And hell came along and said, I don't think so. We're going to stop you. We're going to nail you to that cross. But then when Jesus stepped out of that tomb, guess what? That's when the nightmare, that's when the death of Jesus Christ became the pathway to the dream of the church. The dream of the church. A dream is twofold. Twofold. The purpose of the dream is to give you and me a sense of self-destiny, a sense of destiny that we're just not here wandering around through life, bouncing off circumstances like we're trapped in some pinball machine just going here and there, but that there is a sense of destiny, a sense of calling of God in your life, in my life. And you don't have to be in the ministry just to have a dream, because God has a dream for every person here and every person that is a child of His. You are not here by accident. And the dream that God gives you is about the destiny upon your life regarding why you are here on this planet Earth. Second purpose of the dream is to inspire you, to get you to reach for it, to stretch, to get you out of your comfort zone. So many of us like to be comfortable. I like to be comfortable in a comfort zone. I have a routine of doing things, but God does that and He stretches us. But then comes the nightmare. Unlike the dream, which is twofold, the nightmare is threefold. The nightmare happens when you're going through darkness and when you're going through life and you're keeping your eyes focused on God's dream and you're just wandering around, and all of a sudden the nightmare happens upon you. And when you're going through setbacks and adversity and trials, then guess what? You're going to find out three things about the nightmare. Number one, the nightmare is about self-discovery. And when you go through the nightmare, you're going to find out who you are. You're going to find out that your security can't be in other people and what they say or feel about you. And at some point, when you're going through the nightmare, you have to get something inside of you that says, I believe it, and I don't care what anybody says, because I know what God has told me. And that's when you find out who you are. Many of you have been through the nightmare, the first part of that, going through adversity, whether it's you've lost a parent, lost a sibling, lost a spouse, lost a family member, something happened with your children. You find out who you are when you're going through that. And you have to get that inside your spirit that God gives you, that I don't care what anybody says, because God told me. Because I know what God has told me. And not only the nightmare is about self-discovery, about finding out who you are. Number two, it's about God discovery. You'll find out more about God in the darkness of your life than you will during the sunshine days. In both 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 12, and 1 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 1, God says that I dwell in thick darkness. Thick darkness. He actually said that. He said, I dwell in thick darkness. In other words, if you want to know more about God, then He allows you to go through the darkness that's before you. And it's not God's will for you and I to always have those sunshiny days and those successful, beautiful days that we so much cherish in our life as a believer and as a child of God. But actually, you'll learn more about God and who He is in the dark places. In those lonely places. In those times where you just don't understand what's happening. You feel forgotten. And you don't really know who you are anymore. Sometimes God wants to get you in a lonely place and He'll separate you from your normal friends. He'll separate you from normal circumstances to get you there. And you don't know what's happening anymore in your life. And then all of a sudden, to make things worse, you find out that God is strangely silent during this time in your life. And many of you are walking through that kind of darkness right now. And you don't want to be alone. But yet God has you alone. He has you cornered. But I promise you that He's doing a mighty, mighty, mighty work in your life. And you're going to find out who you are. And you're going to find out who God is during this time of darkness this time of loneliness. And the nightmare, thirdly, is to shut the devil's mouth. When your nightmare is over, like Job, it will shut the devil's mouth. When your nightmare is over, it's going to cause the voice of hell, that voice that says God is a liar, you're no good, you'll never do, you always give up on anything, you're disappointing your heavenly Father, and all of those lies, and hell screams at us, you might as well just give up. You might as well just take and end your life. You might as well do this. You might as well do that, because you just don't have it. Because you're just a failure. And the nightmare is going to shut the devil's mouth when God turns it around. And I promise you, He will turn it around. Do you realize everything that has been built so far in the church is the direct result of a dream and the persistence of that dream to keep on going to that dream of someone who would not just give up like hell wanted them to? Jesus proved that you have to go beyond the nightmare in order to get to the dream. Whenever He hung on the cross and He rose again on the third day, that's why hell hates Him so much. That's why hell hates that name so much. Job proved that if you endure the nightmare, you'll experience the dream, and God bless Job double. Even Joseph had a dream. But then came the nightmare. And then came the pit and the prison and the false accusations and the things that turned him around and put him in a place where he didn't want to be. But it was all a pathway to the dream. And if you can't endure the nightmare, then you'll never experience the walk, the dream, the purpose that God has for you. And the closer that you get to the fulfillment of this dream in God's life, or in your life that God has for you, the tougher it's going to get. It's true. You see it on TV. You see it on the sports field in football, the NFL especially, because you'll see these tall, skinny, wide receivers just run down the field, and they'll dash down there, and they'll weave in and out and dodge other players, and they'll pick up 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 yards, and everybody around them is cheering them on. But all of a sudden, they get down to the 5-yard line. And that's when you'll see the defense on the other side switch out some pretty big guys. But then comes the behemoth-sized guys in on defense. These guys weigh about 400 pounds. They're mean. Their breath stinks. They look at you like, if you try to come 5 more yards, I'm going to rip your head off. And if I can't rip your head off, I'm going to make sure that I hurt you real good. It may even go into 4 overtimes. And wear you out. And some of you right now are facing some behemoth demons. You've never faced anything like it before in your life. You see these things, and you don't understand why they're there. And it's just a sign that you're closer than you've ever been before. 5 more yards if you can just make it. And I still believe that some of you are so close that hell has brought out its biggest demons to you to get you to give up when you're in the middle of your nightmare, just so that you won't be able to experience God's dream that He has for your life or for your family. And what I'm telling you today is that the purpose of the nightmare is to discourage you to give up on your dream. And every now and then you have to get some fresh oil. Tina got her oil changed in her car this week, she said. And you got to get some fresh oil in your car every now and then. Oil will keep you going in your car, but eventually it gets dirty. And eventually it'll start rubbing against parts in your car and wearing them down. And we need to get fresh oil in our lives, or we'll quit and we'll throw in the towel. And every now and then you've got to get the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life to move in your life again. And every now and then you need God to be able to empower you and to be able to touch you in a fresh new way. And that's why the purpose of the women's conference is to touch you in a fresh and new way, to hear from people you don't normally hear from in a fresh new way. And when that happens, just so that the enemy won't steal your dream of a blessed family, of a blessed life, of a blessed marriage, and a blessed career. Because that's God's will for your life, to have those things as a child of God. But the nightmare is a dream stealer. The nightmare says, just give up. You know, maybe you've heard this phrase before. Anything worth doing is worth doing well. Anybody hear that phrase? Yeah, it's a common one. But here's a new one for you. Anything worth doing is worth failing at. And that's why you have to endure the nightmare. Because if you want to give yourself to something, then give yourself to something that's worth failing over. Christ's likeness. Becoming like Jesus, your master, is worth failing over. Maybe I'm not as Christ-like as I want to be. But even if I'm falling my way towards being like Christ, then at least I'm trying. At least you're trying. Listen, don't let non-Christians ever tell you how you ought to be a better Christian. It's a no-win situation. And you'll hear this a lot either through family members, through friends that you work with or encounter. Well, Miss Sunday School teacher, did you lose your temper? Well, Pastor, what do we have here? Don't ever let those people mess with you and tell you how you ought to be a better Christian. I'm sure Jesus ran into that himself when he chased all the people out of the temple and was angry. And I'm sure you had some Pharisees by saying, well, teacher, did we lose our temper today? That's not very godly. I'm sure he had people like that all around him. A person isn't a failure because they fail. They're a failure because they decide to quit. And there's a big difference there. And the nightmare was the pathway to the dream for Joseph. The nightmare was the pathway for the dream for Job. The nightmare was the pathway for the dream for Jesus. And so don't let the nightmare steal your dream. In Genesis chapter 28, just a couple of chapters over from Genesis chapter 1, and yes, I'm going to get there. But Jacob, he went to Bethel, and he put his head on a stone. I don't know how hard that is to sleep on a rock, using a rock as a pillow, but he did. And when he did, God opened up the heavens. Remember the dream of angels ascending and descending to heaven? And God gave him a dream for his life. But if you'll put your head on the rock, then God will give you your dreams. And that rock is Jesus Christ. You get your head in the right place and God will open up the heavens up to you. God's dream for Joseph will come. His came when he put his head on the rock. And if you get your head in the right place, God's dream will come for you. If you get a dream from heaven, it makes all the difference in the world. Notice the pillow became a pillar in Genesis 28 verse 16. Or Genesis 28, verse 18, the text said, it said that he made a pillar by pouring oil on the rock that he slept on. And he built the house of God, calling it Bethel. And then that pillow that he slept on, his head on, then became the pillar. And if you get a dream from God, then you can build on yours as well. And you can build your life on it, because what God tells you, he will perform it in your life. Amen? What are you laying your head on is the question. Are you going to bed at night with worries and troubles keeping you up late at night? Or are you placing them in the hands of Jesus and saying, I need a peaceful sleep? John, he laid his head on Jesus' chest. in the Scriptures. And that's how John was able to endure the nightmare of the island of Patmos. He was all alone there, banished on an island. But suddenly, since John knew where to put his head, he knew where to lean, he knew where to rest, because it was Jesus, and God gave him a visual of heaven and allowed John to give us the 22 chapters of the book of Revelation. Because he had a dream while he was living the nightmare. And I'm telling you this morning that you can't get one without the other. I'm preaching to someone today who needs to get some determination in their walk with Christ. I'm preaching to someone today who needs to get a spirit that says, I will not give up in my walk with Christ. It doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter that the enemy keeps taunting me and harassing me and trying to trip me up and poke me, because I will not let up, because I know what God has promised me. He's laid his hand on you, he has started it, and he's going to finish it. He promised it, and he's going to perform it, no matter how long it takes to receive it. It may take years. We're such a want-this-now type of society. We have hard times just waiting in a Walmart line, much less waiting for the will of God in our lives to be accomplished. It may take some time to receive it. But a nightmare, like a dream, is filled with hopelessness and despair and no escape. And what's weird about the nightmare is that it gets louder the closer that you get to your dream. And God, at the same time, that's when he chooses to go silent for some reason. That's when so many people quit. You're trying to get to the dream, but then this nightmare comes along, and just when you need God to really speak to you, just when you need a revelation from God, God, give me a scripture, give me something, he goes silent. And the nightmare seems to be getting louder all the while. Anybody here ever experienced that? Amen. It's in that moment. That's when you have to walk by faith. That's when the faith kicks in. You have to go, because you know that God has said in your heart, and he purposed in your heart that calling. That's why you have to get it ingrained in here and sealed, just like the Holy Spirit sealed in us until the day of redemption. It has to stay there. It has to just grow. And you have to keep telling your mind up here that I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to doubt this now, but I'm going to stick and believe in my God now. And don't let anybody else's opinion become your reality. Well, God hasn't spoke to you in a while. Are you in sin? Tell me your sins. Oh, well, maybe you need to do this. Well, maybe we need to do that. Don't let anybody else's opinion become your reality. Just because you're walking through a nightmare doesn't mean that the dream for your life isn't still real. Listen, 10 people's opinion in the Old Testament caused 3 million. 3 million people to wander aimlessly, confused, attacked all the time for 40 years in the desert. They let 10 people's opinion become their reality. Last week I spoke to you about David and Goliath. Saul had an opinion. He said, David, you can't defeat that giant out there with your little Walmart slingshot and those stones that you picked up off the creek bed. You need this armor, and you need this sword that's made by the very finest blacksmiths in the palace. You need this thing, and you need to do that. And David said, Saul, I'm not going to let your opinion become my reality, because I know what God told me to do. So many people, they give up so many times right when they're on the verge to victory. Right there. And that's why I wanted to end on this story today in Genesis 21. Because in this story we have Ishmael the boy. And I just want to read it to you, and I want you to see it, and I want you to see what's happening. Chapter 21 with verse 8, starting with verse 8. It says, "And the child grew, and he was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on that day that Isaac was weaned. Now Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, mocking. Therefore she said to Abraham, 'Drive out this maid and her son, for the son of this maid shall not be an heir with my son Isaac.' And the matter distressed Abraham greatly because of his son. But God said to Abraham, 'Do not be distressed because of the lad and your maid. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, for through Isaac your descendants shall be named. And the son of the maid I will make the nation also, because he is your descendant.' And so Abraham rose early in the morning, and he took out the bread and the skin of water and gave them to Hagar, putting them on her shoulder. And he gave her the boy, and he sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she left the boy under one of the bushes. And then she went out and sat down opposite him about a bow shot away. For she said, 'Do not let me see the boy die.' And she sat opposite him, and he lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the lad crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, 'What is the matter with you, Hagar? Do not fear, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him by the hand, for I will make a great nation for him, of him.' And then God opened her eyes, and he saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin and water and gave the lad a drink. And God was with the lad, and he grew, and he lived in the wilderness, and he became an archer. And he lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt." Hagar is out here in the wilderness. In verse 17, God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel called out to Hagar from heaven and said, "What ails you, Hagar? What's the matter with you? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is." And listen to these words in verse 18. "Arise and lift up the lad and hold your hand. Hold him with your hand, and I will make him a great nation." And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. What I want you to see in this story is that Ishmael was Hagar's dream. And I want you to see in the story that she had a dream. But she gets in the wilderness, and she has a moment of discouragement, and she drops the dream, which is her son, Ishmael, and she puts him under a bush for safety. And then she hears the child crying, and she has no resources. She has no food. They've already drank up all the water, and they're in a hot desert. And she said, "I just can't stand to see him die and suffer." So she goes far enough away to where she can't hear the crying of the child anymore. But there's an amazing thing that happens. The Bible said that God heard the dream, or the child, crying out. Which tells me something really powerful in the scripture. And that's this, that if you have a God-given dream, a dream that God has given you in your heart, that dream can pray. That dream can cry out. Even if you've given up on it. Even if you've stuck it under a bush somewhere. She'd given up. She dropped her dream, and she'd walked off somewhere, and she was crying, and now her baby was dying, and her dream was dying. But the dream was crying out. The dream was crying out, and notice that God didn't hear Hagar crying. He heard the dream crying. And then he said to the mother Hagar, he said, "Go back. Go back." And I feel like this simple little message today is just saying to people, go back. Go back to some of those dreams that maybe have been dashed by the wayside. Go back to some of those dreams maybe that has just faded away because you've just become so overwhelmed. Pick them up, because God's not through with them. Go back and endure the nightmare. Maybe at one time you wanted to be really strong in your desire to follow Jesus. You wanted to be really strong in your service to Him. But something happened along the way. And I know it looked like a nightmare. But I just want you to know that if you can endure the nightmare, then you're going to experience the dream that God has for your life. And it's time for you to take that dream that God has given you, that vision, that purpose in your life, to put them and take them up and pick them in your arms again, and to hold them before God again, and watch Him bring His power in your life and His presence in your life, and His resurrection of those dreams that have been dropped that are still crying out to God, even though they may be under a bush somewhere. During the nightmare is a season for somebody. Then the Bible said God showed her where the water was, and He opened her eyes, and God showed her how to keep this dream of hers alive. And I'm telling you today that it's time to pick up some of the dreams that have been faded away or maybe just even abandoned. Time to once more look at the dream that God has for your life and to stand strong and determine that hell can't have my family. Demons can't have them. How many in here today has lived through, encountered, or maybe even presently going through a nightmare? Yes. And many maybe have discarded some of those dreams that God has for your life because the nightmare has just literally shaken you to your core being. You've never encountered anything like this before. And just when you have forgotten about it or purposed it out of your mind and you're going along your own little way, God will come along and say, "It's time. It's time. It's time to go back to pick it up." And today, some of you need to pick up those dreams and the hope that God has given you, that He has purposed in your life. And to endure and be able to endure that nightmare, because God never fails us. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you, because God gave His Son to prove it. That's how much He loves you and I. And we need to remember the promise that is told to us in Psalms 91 verse 5 that says, "You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day." And we need to find security in our Father and the promise of Psalms chapter 4 verse 8 where it says, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For You alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." This morning, let us stand to our feet and determine ourselves that we believe God's promises for us. And to say with our own lips that He is able. Say that this morning. He is able. Amen. And just lifting our hands to represent those hopes and those dreams that may have fallen by the wayside and hold them up before Him this morning. And say with me, "God, here it is. I'm going to trust You with my dream and my hope like never before. You heard it crying out. Jesus, I trust You from this day forward. Nightmares, they may come. Tribulations, they may fall my way, but my love for You will always hold strong because You are my Savior. Increase my faith, O Father. Empower me with the Holy Spirit that You have given me. I believe my dreams that You have shown me will live. just as your plan for my life will continue on. And I place my trust in you. To God be the glory. And all the church said, amen and amen.